Glory. Good morning. God bless you. Yeah, clap. Come on. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, great to be in Hobart. No? Yes. Who likes living in Hobart? The lady in the red shirt likes living in Hobart. What are you doing here? Move to Boonie. It's where God lives. Somebody say amen. It's good. It's cool. Well, praise God. Yesterday we had a good time. We went up Mount Nelson. Anyone, who's been up Mount Nelson? Usually the people that live in the place don't enjoy the good things about the place. Is that that's usually what happens? Mount Nelson. The view is incredible, isn't it? Yes or no? Yes. It is amazing. If you haven't been up Mount Nelson, I'd encourage you to go up Mount Nelson. It's like looking from God's perspective. The entrance to the city out there. And just, we were up there yesterday thinking, you know, 150 years ago, what was happening? As guys were up there and things were coming into the city and ships were coming and cargo was coming and people were coming and all sorts of things were coming. And you know what, 150 or so years later, the church needs to be saying, what's coming into the city? Who's coming into this city? Why are they here? What's God want to do? What's happening? What history are we going to make in the 2000s? Amen? And so the people in 50 years' time, 150 years' time say, I wonder what they were thinking at Energize the Church and how did they see what God was doing? And you know, we've got to get connected to God. Amen? We've got to get connected to what God is doing because, you know, you've got to love your city. You've got to love it with all your heart. All your soul, all your strength. The Bible says to do that. And to love your God and then and your neighbors yourself. And so the only way to get excited and stay excited about God is to start loving your city so much that you're watching everything that's happening and why is that happening and what's happening there and what's God want to do in that circumstance and what's God want to do in that pub and what's God want to do in this restaurant while I'm here in this restaurant tonight. What's God doing in McDonald's? What is God doing at McDonald's? Do you know? You know, God is so good and so great that he can even use McDonald's. Praise God. Do you believe what I'm saying? Yeah. That everywhere you go, you go, so what's God doing here? Yeah. What's God want to do in this moment while I'm here? I'm here, so things are about to change. Yeah. The Spirit of God is on me. I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. Let the weak say, I am strong. Yeah. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. So that everywhere you go, things begin to vibrate because you're there. The Bible calls us saviors. It says we're saviors because we bring salvation, amen, to hurting people. Be aware of what's going on around you. Be aware of wherever you go, whatever you do. Can I encourage you that God wants to use this church? I believe there's something. I was praying last night that's over the sea and it's out of the state and it's all those things. But I believe God wants to use this church to color the cities of Hobart with life and blessing and encouragement. If there's one thing that God, I believe, has been saying to me for so long, and I think that God has really stirred me to that wherever we go, that we share this message, we are going to be the first generation that'll hand over a church that has no religion, that's put aside all the cynicism, all the judgmental stuff, all the criticism of the past and all the trash and all those, you know, I was only joking stuff. Who's ever said that? You know, I hate this pastor, but I was only joking. Oh, he's a great guy. She's a great lady. And they're great people. But we're going to be the first church generation that hands the church over to the next generation without cynicism, criticism, judgment. The trash that has caused churches to shut. You know that in England, 14 churches a week are shutting their doors. But the churches that are full of the faith and the Holy Ghost and encouragement and the gifts of the Spirit are exploding with growth. That's going to be energized, the church. Amen? Come on, can you say amen? I need you to get involved. Praise God. Because we're going to be a generation that builds a church that is completely unstoppable. It is absolutely full of power and full of faith on the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Amen. You've got to determine in your heart, you see, because you'll be what you choose to be. What you do every day is what you will become. Hallelujah. You live with a generous heart, a big heart, a big spirit. I'm going to be an encourager. I'm going to be a builder. I'm going to be a lifter. I'm going to be a promoter of others. I'm going to be the one that when the pastor's, you know, really sort of, I don't know what's going on in the music team. I don't know what's happening there. You're going to be the one to say, well, I tell you what, instead of talking about it, why don't we pray? Why don't we lift them up? Why don't we lift them up in prayer? Why don't we become a church like that? Amen?
Amen.
I believe that's the church we're handing over to the next generation. Lifters, promoters, encouragers, strengtheners, builders. Praise God. Amen? Amen. It was a funny thing. That was Kevin, isn't it? I just said to my wife as you came up, I said, oh, I've got a word for that guy. It's sort of a bit redundant now, but you and your wife. But it was just Psalm 2 that ask and I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. I didn't know you were involved in missions work or any of those things, but I just want to encourage you. Sort of most of it got spoiled because you've already said it all, but that's all right. It's going to be far bigger than you ever dreamed. It's like God wants to use you to raise up people that feel like you, that feel the things that you feel. Share your feelings, share your heart, because God, it's like God wants to not clone you, but sort of clone that spirit. That bigness of heart, that ability to look beyond the horizons and see what's coming and begin to speak it with a real sense of confidence. And I don't know where the finances are coming from. I don't know where the men are coming, all the people are coming from. But I know they're going to be there because God's in this whole thing. I'm not saying you're a senior man, but a lot of senior ministers like the spotlight to stay on them. And I just believe that God wants to use you to be a really bring a unique culture of ministers that are in their maturing years that can turn the spotlight onto somebody else and raise them up and lift them up. And you're the only guy that it's like God saying that you're the only guy that's got the courage. You're the only couple that have got the courage and the sense of security in God to take the spotlight and shine it on what's coming. Through the young men and women that are being raised up by God around the world. Amen? God bless you. We better get on with what we're doing. What are we doing this morning? Hallelujah. I want to share some things with you. These things, this is the most important thing that you'll hear this morning. Did you know that humans breathe 23,000 times a day? A baby is born every 7 seconds. Fishing is the biggest participant sport in the world. Every person has a unique fingerprint, thumbprint, eyeprint, and tongue print. Use it well. Did you know that diamonds are flammable? Did you know that one in five people alive today are Chinese? They are everywhere. Praise God. Did you know that in just over 4 hours, one day in 1996, Bill Gates earned $2 billion? More than 500,000 trees are required to produce the Sunday paper in the US. A bolt of lightning travels at 72 million miles per hour. Did you know that men spend 106 days of their lives shaving? There are more than 5,000 languages that are spoken in the earth. And here's the best one of all. In 1 minute, a serious kiss burns 26 calories. Come on. Put your hands together for this woman. So ladies, let me tell you, the best weight loss centre is right there. Amen. All right. We better look at something that's at least reasonable. Praise God. Listen to this. Do all that you can, by all the means that you can, in all the places you can, at all the times that you can, for all the people that you can, for as long as you possibly can. That's greatness and generosity. I'll say it again because this is really important. This should be the sense of the song of the church. We do all that you can, do all the good that you can, by all the means that you can, in all the places you can, at all the times that you can, for all the people that you can, for as long as you possibly can. That's generosity. Amen? And I think this, that in Romans 8 verse 29, it says this. It says that we are being conformed more and more and more to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Yes or no? Romans 8, 29, that's what it says. We're saying about all things work together for good. And then it goes on to say that we are being conformed, we're being transformed and conformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Who thinks that's important? Three people like that thing. Okay, we'll wait. We've got plenty of time. Dave said as long as we're done by three, it's fine. That's the most important thing that you will ever strive after, work towards, and have his vision for your life, to be more and more like Christ. Wherever you go and whatever you do, will be like him. And you know what? We're no more like Christ in any other position, any other thing we do, than with generosity. Jesus lived for you. He died for you. He rose from the dead. And the Bible says that he's now praying for you every single day. He lived for you. He died for you. He rose for you. And now he spends every day praying for you. Hebrews 7:25, if you don't believe me. That's pretty intense. That's what Dave said earlier. That's hardcore. That's phenomenal. And you and I are being conformed. God wants to transform us and renew our minds and shift our thinking and our mindsets over to the place where we are being conformed every day more and more to be like him. And we're no more like him than when we're being generous, when we're developing a big spirit, a big heart, a sense of bigness about what we're going to embrace with our lives. Yes or no? Is everyone okay this morning? It's good. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus gave his whole life. And he lived, he died, he rose, now he's praying. And then he says, I want you to be like that. I want you to live. I want you to die to yourself. I want you to live in resurrection power. And I want you to be prayers. It's a great mission statement for the church. Amen? And that's what we're to become. I want to look briefly this morning at things that I believe are very, very important and probably four things that encompass all of our lives in being generous. Number one T is your time. Who has time? Do you know that we all have the same amount of time? Yes? 86,000. 400 seconds a day. That's about 31 million seconds a year. What are you doing with your seconds? What are you doing with your time? We've got time. Number two is treasure. Number three is talents. And number four is touch. They encompass everything that we do in life. If somebody gave you every day 86,400 cents, and they deposited in a bank account for you every single day. Who thinks that would be cool? That's about $864 a day. That's pretty good. Do you believe, who thinks that's good? Okay, good. It's a pay rise. If somebody was doing that and gave you 86,400 cents every day, and they deposited in a bank account, but it had conditions on it, you had to use every cent of it, every day. I could do that. Ladies, can you say amen? We can say, spend $864 a day would be a piece of cake. Amen. And yet we would love that. We would all respond to that. Well, God is giving you something far more precious than a few dollars in a bank account. He's giving you 86,400 seconds in time every day. And you've got to ask yourself, what am I doing with my time? What am I doing with it? What's it look like? If God walked with me personally through each day, through 86,400 seconds, what would it look like? How would I adjust it? How would I adjust it if Jesus I knew was walking with me every moment of that day? What adjustments would be made? Put your hand up if you'd make adjustments. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus is walking with you every day. His spirit is in you. His power, his grace, his anointing, his glory is on you, the Bible says. And it's on you for every day. It's on you that every second would be used for his glory. Every second. If we use our time well, you know what? The Bible says it'll come back to us, good measure. Who finds that there's not enough time? Come on, someone be honest in this place. There's never enough time in the day. There's never enough hours in the day. Kevin, tell me that the days don't go and the years don't go. I'm 47. I turned 47 this week. Man, I feel. But you know, at 37, there seemed to be more time. At 27, there was heaps of time. At 17, it was like Monday. Come on, who ever found that? At 47, I can't imagine what it's like. I'll be 57. Things are getting quicker, faster and faster and faster. And God has given you 86,400 seconds in every day, and he's asking you, what are you going to do with those things? Ask yourself, what will I do with my time? Number two is treasure. Who loves treasure? Everybody responds to T for treasure. Yeah. T is your treasure. Everybody has some of it. You can't, you live in this nation, you'll have something. You'll have something. You'll have resources that are given you. Even if it's, if praise God for our government. We were talking about this yesterday a little bit. You know, we've got to be a church that have got to undergird our government. You know, if the Church of Australia spent as much time praying as we do criticizing our politicians, we would have dynamic women and men in Parliament. Yes or no? So use your time to encourage, to support. When you're in the restaurant and people start pulling, you know, David Bartlett down or Kevin Rudd or Barack Obama, you've got to say, hold on a minute, how long was this conversation going to go on for? And I said, why? Well, if we're going to use 5 minutes, can we use it in praying for these people rather than criticizing and undermining what they do and who they are? I'll tell you what, if we did that, we would transform this city and transform our politicians, yes or no? It's the truth. You might say, this is really simple. Well, praise God, it's time the church did it. Amen. Treasure. We all have treasure. We have resources and finances that are put in our hands. Now, you might be a person with a lot of treasure. You might be a person with a little bit of treasure. But God has made sure in this nation that you will have something that you can do with your treasure. Or you have treasure that you can do something with. The Bible is very clear. See, generosity is not just about finance, but it includes finance. Because let me tell you, if you are generous with your time, that'll begin to build a culture in you. That when it comes to money, you will have a culture that is generous. And then when it comes to your talents, who's got a talent? It's great. Australia's got talent. You know, I love things like that because average Joe gets to get up on stage and show what they've got. Yeah? Yes? I think it's fantastic. You laugh and you cry with them. And do you do that or is it just me? You get emotional after about 45. Emotional. But everybody's got something. Some people are really good with their hands. They're really good with practical things. Some people are good with money. And they're really good. Some people are prophetic. Some people like to prophesy. Some people like to preach and they've got it in them. Amen. Some people can sing. Some people can write songs. Some people are really good at building houses. Some people are really good and encouraging. You walk in the door. Yeah. You know that the encouragement at the door is not restricted to the person at the front door. Isn't that unique? Yeah. You can walk through the door. You can stand. You can be the second greeter. Yeah. And the third greeter and so on. And you can stand. You can greet. You can be. That can be your talent. If you haven't got any, if you think, I haven't got anything else, you can do that. Yes or no? Yes. You can. Everybody can say, hello. It's true. You can, can't you? And you know, your gift could be the diversity of gifts. There are hundreds of things that people can do. You don't have to preach to be important. In fact, I think that the pastor or the preacher has the greatest restrictions because he can't really say what he wants to. But you can say what you want to say. You can speak. You can prophesy. You can build houses. You can love people. You can sing. You can play guitars. You can do. There are thousands of talents and gifts. And how developed they are and how prominent they are in your life is your decision. Because whether you have 5 talents or 2 talents or 1 talent or whatever you think you've got or whatever you think you haven't got, you have something that you can invest in the plans of God and the kingdom of God and a hurting world. Yes or no? Yes or no? What's the other one? Touch. How many people in a day do you touch? Now, I'm not talking about, you can physically touch them if you want to. I like to do that. But you can touch them with your mouth. Oh, I'm just one of those people that's really huggy. I like to hug. I like to shake hands. I like it. You know, it's good to see you, Morsi. But you'll touch them with the words that you say. Yes? If I walk up to this young lady and she comes up, she says, "Oh, good morning, welcome to church." And I go, "Are you for real? I just touched her, didn't I? Yes or no?" If I say, "Oh, good morning," and she goes, she walks past me, or "Who's got a husband?" You say, "Good morning, husband." And they go, "That's a grunt." That's welcoming, isn't it? You might have a wife or a husband, and you say good morning, and they put their arms out. There's a big difference, isn't there? People can walk into this church, and you can walk past, you can step over your job to get to your office. Does that make sense? People are what this is all about. The kingdom of God is only a king and his people. That's all it is. Buildings will fall down, cars will rust, particularly if they're Falcons, and footy clubs will win and lose, and all, you know, aeroplane and clothes go in and out of fashion. But ultimately, when Christ returns, all that will really matter is what I built with him and with you. That's all that'll matter. How did I touch your life? How did you touch the lives that people, that God brought into your world today? Yeah, but I don't like them. You know, they're not my type. Aren't you pleased that Jesus didn't say that? Yes or no? You know, there are a lot of people that are not your type. Who cares? You might be the wrong type. It might be you that's got the problem. Yes or no? So we've got time and talents, treasure and touch. You know what I love about touch? I love the Italian thing. Mamma. And they race over and give a big hug. Don't you love that? I love that thing. Aussies don't do that very well. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. Wicked. Hardcore. But there's nothing more impacting than when you meet someone for the first time and you look into their eyes. It's good morning. Oh, it's good to see you. Are you a huggy person? I'd love to give you a hug. Dave's a huggy person. Come on. Hey? The most important thing, there's an old saying goes like this. If you leave a footprint, will it be a big heel or a good soul?
Yeah, that's awesome.
A big heel or a good soul? I want the footprint of my life to be a good soul. I want people to remember. He was a bit strange. And he had all these funny little ways, and he was a weird sort of a character and unusual. But boy, you knew that he loved you. You knew that he cared. And that's the footprint that we've got to leave through our time, our treasure, our talents, and our touch. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Please turn with me to 1 Kings. We're going to look at 1 Kings and a couple of things here that I believe will be important and hopefully will encourage you. Do you know the Proverbs 11, verse 24 says, that which withholds leads to poverty. And it says, but the generous one or the generous soul or a generous person will be made rich. Doesn't say that he'll survive. It says that the generous heart, soul will be made rich. Who wants to be rich? It's a guy in the middle here and a girl at the back that want to be rich. Praise God while I'm preaching to you this morning. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. 1 Kings and chapter 17 and verse 1 to 6. It says this. It says, Elijah, who's ever heard of Elijah? He's the Tishbite. And the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew, not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide at the brook, etc., etc. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook as I have commanded, and the ravens will feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Well, he went and he stayed at the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Interesting. God comes to a guy named Elijah. This is where he's introduced into the whole thing of God's word. And God says to him, Elijah, I want you to go and do what I've called you to do. I want you to use your talent. See, he built this guy as a prophet. He says, I want you to do. So Elijah goes and does what God says. Now everybody else in the place around this nation is now hungry and thirsty because there's a famine, there's no rain, there's nothing coming. But Elijah, because he obeyed God, moves into a place where the birds come and feed him and where there's water and there's food every morning and every night. God provides because a man responded. God's word demands a response from us. This is not the divine suggestion. This is the truth of God's plan and purpose for your life and my life, and no matter how many generations live on the earth. And this man, the word of the Lord comes to Elijah, and he stands up on the inside, and he goes and he obeys God. And then God fulfills his promise. You know that nothing has changed in thousands and thousands of years. God wants to bless you, provide for you, minister to you, encourage you, prosper you, but it is always conditional. We sing and we worship God. And I enjoyed this morning. Thank you, team. That was awesome. And you know what? You know what? Worship is a response. That's a response. These people are up here using their talents, their gifts, their abilities. They're pouring themselves out. That's a response to Jesus, who lived for you, died for you, rose from the dead for you, and now prays for you every day. That's a response. So is this. Oh, you're incredible, Lord. I thank you. I praise you. I worship you. Last time we were here, we preached on the worshiper. The Bible from cover to cover shows that the worshiper, God will bless, prosper, and protect the worshiper. Because worship is a response to his love, to his death, to his resurrection, and to what he's doing right now. Worship is a response. Giving, generosity, is a response to God's word, to what God has done on your behalf. Jesus lived for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus rose for you. Jesus prays for you every day. What is your response? You got time, you got treasure, you got talents, and you got touch. And I can use those four things that responds to what Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary. What he did when he defeated sin and hell and death and sickness and disease and fear and doubt and every trouble that would come into my life. He has made me more than a conqueror in him who has loved me. Amen. And no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me, I'm going to condemn. Amen. I'm full of faith and power by the Holy Ghost. What is your response? Seriously. Honestly. God is looking for a response. You know, have you ever been in a conversation and get to the end of it and someone says, and? I think that God has given his word and he's spoken it all out and now he's going, and? And? Waiting? What is it? Or is it, God, I'm so thankful that you saved me. I'm so thankful that you healed me. I'm so thankful that you love me. I'm so thankful that you poured your life into me. I'm so thankful that eternity is signed, sealed, and delivered in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm so thankful for that. Thank you. God says, cool. I like that. I like that kind of response. And you know what happens? Something begins to grow on the inside of us when we respond to what God has done through Jesus Christ. Yes. Here we go. And it says in verse 7, it says, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And verse 8 says, and then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. How many people have been serving God and felt like things dried up? You doing this? You think, church, is that on today? Is today Sunday? You know, years ago I used to say, oh, it might feel like Friday night, but Sunday's on the way. And you used to love going to church. You used to love worshiping God. You used to, but things started to dry up. Be honest, Dave's looking at me, not you. All the... There's half a dozen that are truthful, because the truth is that every person in this place has felt that. Yes or no? I don't care how enthusiastic or how full of faith of the Holy Ghost you are, there has been times in your life. You know, that's when people get up and leave churches and leave, they walk away from God and they say, well, it doesn't work for me. Like God's some sort of product. You know, like he's a shampoo and your hair starts to fall out, doesn't it? Yeah, and you think, oh, it didn't work, I'll try another shampoo. Praise God. See, this guy's honest. I'm still trying to cover mine up. Like God's some sort of product that doesn't work. And so they get up and they leave churches and they leave God and they walk away from God and they, well, because the brook dried up. You know what? Here's some instruction. That when things get dry, it's not the time to get up and walk away. It's not the time to say, oh, well, this is the wrong church or the wrong place, or I'm in the wrong thing, or I need to go, or God said leave your wife, or God said leave my husband, or God said I got to go. No. Look at what the Bible says. The word of the Lord comes and says, it's time to get up. It's time to rise up in your vision. It's time to rise up and take hold of the word of God. It's time to say, what are you calling me to? Because the brook dried up over there, so you're calling me higher. See, the Bible says, come up here, come up here. What am I coming up to? It's just the truth. You see, because everybody gets up and says, well, it's not working for me. But the Bible says when the brook dries up, the word came, says, arise. It says, look towards heaven. Look towards what God is doing. There's new vision for you. There's new gifts and talents I want to release from you. There's new power coming on your world. There's miracles that you've never walked in. There's things you've never experienced. I'm ready to take you. And we take off. Who's ever seen people like that? That happens in their world. God loves them. We love them. We care for them. But you can't afford to let it happen to your life. The truth is that there will be probably 10 or 12 brooks flowing things in God that will dry up in your lifetime. It's not time to take off. It's time to rise up. It's time to look for new vision and new plans. It's time to go to leadership and say, I'm ready for more. I'm ready for more. See, Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They'll be filled. Everybody wants to be filled. Everybody wants to be blessed. Then it's time to get hungry again. Yes or no? It's time to get hungry again. Elijah, I reckon he's hungry. The brook's dried up. Things have changed. God comes and says, arise. I've got a miracle plan involved. I've got something ready ahead of you. Now, he's obeyed the word. He's obeyed the word. He's obeyed the word. And now he's challenged again to obey the word. You know, when you obey the word, you obey what God is doing, you faithfully serve him, the brooks still keep drying up. You think, this is not working for me. I was looking for something to kick. I just want to kick the telly. And you think, you know, this is not working for me. I've been obeying God and it's not happening for me and I don't know what's wrong. So God's looking for you to obey him again. He's looking for you to keep responding to his love, responding to his forgiveness, responding to him. You see, life has got to be made up of responses to God and his plan and his purpose for your life. He arises. He doesn't say, oh, well, I'm checking out of this place because it's not working. It says that he arises. It says, verse 10, so he arose and he went to Zarephath and he came to the gate of the city, and indeed a widow was gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a cup of water that I may drink. And when she was going to get it, he called and said to her, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I'm going to prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. This is a brilliant example of Christianity. You serve God, you pour yourself out, you prophesy, you build, you do music, you serve God with what you got, your time, your talents, your song, you do all those things, and the brooks dry up. Yes? And then the food runs out, and things aren't the way you thought they'd be. And then God says, arise again. And you think, oh, have I got another resurrection in me? And so you rise up and you do it again. And then you go and prophesy and you do what you believe God was going to do. And the widow that you're speaking to says, we don't have any bread, we don't have any water. Are you some kind of freak? What is wrong with you? Can you see how this matches Christianity? The woman, he says, Lord, listen, give me a drink, give me something to eat, and et cetera, et cetera. And then what happens? She says, I don't have any of those things. He says, I'm about to use what I've got and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. 365 times the Bible says, do not fear. One for every day. Go and do as you have said. But make me a small cake from the first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. He goes to Elijah goes to the lady and he says, give me a drink and give me bread. She says, we don't have it. We're just about to use the little bit we've got, and then we're gonna eat it and we're gonna die. And Elijah says, No. Here's an alternative to dying. Go make me a cake. Bring me. Do that first. Bring it to me, and then you can eat. How would you feel? Let's be honest. Who believes that the Word of God is the truth? This occasion happened. This actually happened. A prophet came into a city, said to the woman, make me cake. She said, I haven't got any. She said, I'm just about to use what resources I've got on ourselves, and then we're going to die. And Elijah says, No. Don't do that. There's a bigger plan here. There's a plan, and I want you to get involved in the plan. He says, first make me a cake, bring it to me, we'll eat. You eat, and things will be different. And then he goes on, and he says, the promise of God, if you'll do this, if you will respond. And so she went her way and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. And the bin of flour was not dried up, and nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah was spoken by Elijah. This woman right there and then had to make a choice. Now, you have to think about this. If you had a little bit, enough to make a couple of cakes, and one was for your son and one was for you, and some weird prophet just walks out of the desert and says, make one for me first, what would you do? Up your nose. Yes? This is my son. This is my flesh and blood. How will we? I can't. This is my life. This is his life. Who do you think you are? If you've got kids, put yourself in this position. Yes? Put yourself there. Say, I wouldn't do it. Say it with me. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't have done it. This little lady says, there's got to make a choice between my son and I having nothing and giving what's left, what I have to the prophet. It doesn't make any sort of sense. But then she looked at the promise and thought, says, you'll eat, we'll eat, God's going to provide, God's going to do all this stuff. There's all these promises. And then the Bible goes on to say that she did that. She made the cake, she gave it to Elijah, and then she ate. And then it says, and if you look over in the next chapter, it says that they ate for 2.5 years. There was enough food for one meal for two people. And this girl had to make a decision. Am I going to withhold and die? Or am I going to switch over into faith and generosity? And maybe, just maybe, God will come through. Right there and then. You got the flesh, you got the natural, you got all those things that are naturally happening around you. Who has circumstances that press in around you? Press in on your finances. Press in on your love. Press in on your talents. Press in on who you are as a person. Yes? I reckon they're just the same in Hobart as they are in Burnie. They press in around you, and you've got to make a choice right there and then. Am I going to walk by sight, or am I going to walk by faith? And there's a switch on the top of your head, and it says, am I going to go with what I believe over here in the natural, or am I going to go with the promise of God? In the natural, the promise of God. And who's ever done that? This little lady flicked over into faith and she said, I'm going to go with generosity. I'm going to go with providing for the prophet. I'm going to go with the things of God. I'm going to take a chance and go with God. And the Bible says here that they ate for many days. That many days was 2.5 years. 2.5 years until the rains came and the place began to produce again. Do you know what? Two people were going to live for one more meal and die. Three people ate 4,900 meals from one act of generosity. One act of generosity, 4,900 meals sprang miraculously out of one act of obedience and generosity. See, there will always be a challenge for your time. You will always have to choose what you're going to do with it. See, most Christians want God to make choices for them. God says, stop asking me to do the things I've told you to do. If you look at God's word, 50% is instruction. 50% is vision, setting the vision, giving us something to work towards. And then 50% is God says, I will if you will. This little lady said, I'm going to do it God's way. She acted with generosity. And not only did she survive that day, but she produced 4,900 meals. That is a lot of meals. Amen? That's a lot of curry, Alex. That's a lot of curry. Amen? 4,900 meals out of one meal because the lady decided to act and chose to be generous and go for the things of God, do things God's way. Do you know what the Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8 says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And one act of generosity has the capacity to bring 4,900 results. Praise God. The Bible says that when we sow into the kingdom, it'll come back 30, 60, or 100-fold will come back into your world. Do you believe it? I believe it. I'm crazy enough to believe it. We have proved God so many times in our world and our lives that God is true to his word. He was true to Elijah. He was true to the widow. He'll be true to Dave. He'll be true to Claire. He'll be true to Alex. And he'll be true to whoever will trust him and go for generosity over withholding. See, here, Proverbs 11 says, withholding, you know what the word withholding means? Can I have you stand up again, Dave? Withholding means this. I'm strangling one of your resources. It means to strangle. You will strangle what God has given you. What happens if I hold on to Dave's neck for too long? He's gone. Withholding, holding back my time, holding back my treasure, holding back my talents, holding back my touch and my hugs and holding back my generosity will eventually squeeze the life out of you. You lose. We lose when we hold. See, the Bible says that which is hold leads. It'll take you somewhere. It'll take you over the edge and down into poverty. And you'll lack if you take the little bit you've got and you spend it and you use it on yourself and you hold it back and you say, oh no, if I use this or if I give these finances or if I give that time, I'll never get it back. But the Bible says the generous soul will be made rich. And the word rich means big. I want to be big. I might be just 6 foot, but I'll tell you what. When God is working through me because I've been generous and I've opened my heart up and my spirit up to what God wants to do, I tell you what, I'm about 3,000 feet tall. Yes or no? Because I'm far bigger on the inside than I am on the outside by the glory and the power of the Holy Ghost. And when I obey to God and I respond to God and I move in generosity with those four areas and four T's, baby, could you undo those things? I forgot to undo them. Then my life just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And I believe this. I believe that this church is going to be far bigger on the outside than it is on the inside. Do you get what I'm saying? I believe it's going to be far bigger out there. And far bigger over across the water and across the nation and on the mainland and in this and in that. Far bigger in the political world. Far bigger influence and impact than you ever believe that it is on the inside. Because you people decided to turn yourselves inside out for God. You decided to respond like this widow, and instead of holding it to yourself, instead of keeping it in close, whether it's finances or gifts or talents or whether it's your time or whether it's your touch or whatever, you decide, you made a decision, despite the little that I've got, I'm going to pour it out. I'm going to give it out. I'm going to watch God multiply it and bring it back to me. Praise God. So you've got to make a choice, because when we withhold, it strangles the life out of everything we've got. Believe me, it will, because I've done it. I've tried it. I tried to be tight. I tried to withhold. I tried to outsmart God. Who's tried to outsmart God? Oh, now the hands are going up. That's good. We all try to outsmart God. I'm smarter than God. And yet the Bible says, but the generous soul will move into richness. A richness of joy, a richness of finance, a richness of resources. Praise God. Just excuse me for a minute. Yeah, it's close, baby. Thank you. Yeah, cut it out. See, I want to show you something, if I can. This is my kitchen rules, right? Quickly, turn with me to Luke chapter 6, and we're going to finish here. And verse 38, it says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running out all over, will be put into your life. And listen to this. You ready for this? For the with the same measure that you use. Can you say that? The same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Is that what the Bible says? With my giving of my talents, my time, my touch, my treasure, who's ever done this? Who's ever given like this? Oh, maybe we'll do bring that into the kingdom. That's a good deal, God. God says, I'm great. I love that you give. And I say, Lord, we want to build a house. We need finances. We need resources. We need people. We need personnel to help us and so on. God says, cool. So God, that's not enough. So I just keep going. How's that going to work? I grew up a Catholic, so I know this works. All right? And then God starts to speak to me. And God says, listen, your withholding is bringing poverty and there's not enough for you and your family. So I want you to adjust your giving. So I go, whoa, look at this, God. You are going to be so impressed. Look at this, God. Hey, I measure. And I say, God, I need help to build this house. I need help to do this situation. God says, cool. Cool, there you go. Puts it back into my life. And give me. So, well, that's getting closer, God, and I'm blessed with that. That's good. That's cool. But God challenges my giving. And I believe that God is challenging the church of Tasmania to see what generosity we've got. Yeah. This whole impact thing is going to, working with leaders and so on, is going to be the greatest challenge that the Tasmanian church has ever been confronted with. You better believe it. Yeah. Because a religious spirit has just slammed the doors of so many places and hearts. And God's ready to open it back up again. Praise God. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And so I say to God, God, I want to make some changes in my world, and I'm ready to respond to your word. And so I take this thing, and I begin to, and I pour it into what God's doing. God says, impressive. So you ain't seen nothing yet. And I begin to pour it in, and I begin to pour it in, and pour it into what God is doing. My time, my gifts, my talents. I'm really kind to people. I'm not nasty about the pastor anymore. I'm really kind. And I pour it all in. I pour it in and pour it into what God is doing. And I say, God, I'm building a house and I need some finances and I need some help. And I'm building a family. I got kids going to school. I need you to provide for me. God says, that's awesome, son. Here, try a bit of this. Look at that. Poured back into my life is all the resources that I will ever have need of. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running out all over will be given back into my life, into my church, into my marriage, into my state, into whatever I'm doing, it'll be given back. Praise God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because religion will tell you this is enough. Christianity tells you this is only just enough. You see, God wants to throw it at you. Malachi chapter 3 says, if you will bring the whole tithe and offering into the house of God, God says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so much that you can't contain it. It says, I want to say, everybody put your hand up if you're standing under heaven saying, stop pouring the money out, Lord. Stop bringing the finances. My Westpac account's full. My ANG is full. My investments are full. My shares are full. Anyone doing that? And God's only one area. Finance is only one area of generosity. If we will open our hearts up today and say, God, I am ready for a new level. I'm ready. Where I have been, the brook has dried up. And I'm tired. I just feel like this. You talk about the river of living water. What? I'm ready for something fresh. God's looking for a response to his word this morning. Will you stand with me? Please. Don't take the lollies away. Give and it will come back to you. God's looking for a response. We've had a bit of fun and messed around a bit this morning, but you know, listen, I believe serving God is the most fun. It's the funnest thing that I have ever done. The challenges and all those things are very, very real, but If you're in a position this morning where you say, yeah, the brook's dried up, I'm ready for something fresh in God. I'm ready to open my heart up. I'm ready to take my heart, my life, my generosity, my giving, my talents, my time, my touch. I'm ready to take it to a new level. I want to reach outside of my, I'm ready to turn myself inside out. And the bigness of God, the generosity of Christ, see, we're no more like Him any other time than when we're being generous. I'm ready to turn myself inside out and take my giving, my generosity, my heart to a whole new level. I'm sick of not touching anybody. I'm sick of not leaving an impact or a footprint. I'm sick of living a powerless life. I reckon I've said that to God 100 times. I've kicked 100 walls. I said, God, I'm sick of being powerless, heartless, gutless. I'm sick of it. And every time God comes and says, I want you to open your heart up. Come with the bigness of spirit. If you're ready to take your generosity, the giving of who you are as a person, it's not just about finance, but it includes finance. I'd invite you to come to the front. I'd invite you to stand with me, somebody who's had to come to God 100 times over these issues. And every time I've seen God come through. If you're here today and you think, what the heck was all this about this morning? Well, who's this fruitcake up the front? All jokes aside, there is a loving God who sent His Son Jesus Christ to the cross. Because you and I have lived in sin. Somebody had to die for that sin, and Christ said, I'll do it for you. I'll go through the pain, I'll go through the death to pay the price for sin. Not only that, but I'll take you and I'll connect you to the love of God, to the eternity that God has prepared for you. You can walk in my love, you can walk in my grace, you can walk in my eternity. If you this morning will come to Christ and say, Jesus, I messed my life up. I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm receiving you as Lord and Savior of my life. I'm ready to take on the new life. I want to be that person who's big on the inside than I am on the outside. If you are here this morning and you've never committed your life to Christ, you've never said, Jesus, come into my life. He wants to come and live in your heart. He wants to forgive you, wants to empower you. He wants to connect you to the love of God, a love that you could never imagine. It is so great. If you're here this morning, we'd like to pray with you. We'd invite you to come to the front. And we'd like to pray with you and introduce you to an incredible hope and future, freedom from sin, guilt and shame in Jesus Christ. If you're here and you'd love to do that, we'd love to pray with you. Amen? Can we sing something while we do that? And if you're in a position where you think, I'm ready, my brook's dried up, I'm ready to move into a bigger place, a bigger vision, a bigger heart, a bigger spirit, I'd like you to come to the front. We'll stand and pray with you. Believe God to bless you, strengthen you, encourage you.